Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Way That I See It. Let me move this microphone. There it is. Thank you so much for joining me, as always. Thank you for being some of the most loyal listeners and subscribers. Like the kind of repeat listens are insane. So I'm hoping that means that the content is resonating. I'm hoping it's allowing you to feel seen, to feel heard, to know that you're not alone in whatever journey you've been on. You know, whether this year you resonated with the episodes on burnout, whether it was the episodes on the nervous system, whether it was the episodes on money, like whatever it was for you, I hope that it resonated and allowed you to feel seen, to feel heard. Because what happens when we feel seen and heard is we feel safe to be ourselves. We feel safe to be in our own life experience in that moment. And when we feel safe to be in our life experience, it also empowers us and allows us to really step into our authenticity. And so my aim and my goal is always not to be the expert, not to be that person that's like, I know everything and give you all the answers, but to allow you to know that you are human and to share my, you know, my views, my opinions, my beliefs, my perceptions on things, hence why this podcast is called The Way I See It. And in the hope that by doing that, it will give you the resources, the tools, the direction, the resonance with my content that allows you to step forward into whatever your next level life goals and dreams are. So at the time of recording this, we are Sunday, the 17th of December, 2023. So got a little Christmas jumper on if you're watching a video episode. And it's very cute. It's got a dachshund that's all sequins and it says up to snow good. It's very cute, very quaint. Tesco is the one for Christmas jumpers. No, I don't make commission. No, I have no affiliate link for Tesco Christmas jumpers, but can highly recommend them. So this week's episode is all about, it's kind of part of a mini series really on what I know so far. So really sharing a recap of an experience. And I've done a few different ones on money. I've done a few things on energy. But this week I wanted to share with you what I know so far about ADHD. And what I am not is a psychotherapist. What I'm not is a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a mental health practitioner. I am very much a personal development mindset and growth coach. And so when I speak about this, I'm speaking from deeply personal experience, personal research, personal knowledge, personal perception of the system, how things work, seeing this not just from my perception, but that of my family. So pretty much all five of us, so mum, dad, and the three kids, we've all got it and didn't know. So I'm going to be sharing some of that with you to give you a bit of, yeah, insight. And I think more than anything, what I want you to know is that your diagnosis or non-diagnosis, if you feel this is relevant or resonates with you, it's not something you need to label yourself. Like, so I think for a long time, I rejected the notion that I was ADHD. In fact, I don't think, I know. I rejected it because of the stereotypical perception of what an ADHD child looks like and what an ADHD adult looks like. And I am neither of those things. But here's the challenge. You can still have ADHD and you can still create success. You can have ADHD and you can be highly strong and highly sensitive and high performer. And usually because that is either coming from a sense of a high performing anxiety fueled by the ADHD, or because you have a sensitive nervous system. And in your early years, you learned that the only thing that gets people to give you attention, give you recognition, do the right thing was to behave, right? Good girls behave, good girls clean their room, you know? And that's not my parents' parenting style, but you absorb everything, right? Especially teaching. A lot of our young years experience doesn't often come from our parents. It often comes from our education. And this is why a good teacher is worth their weight in gold, especially if they understand neurodiversity, they understand trauma. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if all teachers in future years have to train in trauma therapy, as in like trauma-informed therapy, because you do need to treat those children differently. And so when we are, you know, enrolled into a system that is generic upon generic, if we're also sensitive as a child, we can still have ADHD, but we will internalize rather than externalize. And that's something that feels really relevant to me in my experience. So my sister was very much the naughty, disruptive kid. She was diagnosed with ADHD at a young age. And then for me, I wasn't and I could talk about this in a second. I wasn't in the recognition of having ADHD until I was in my 30s. Because I was the opposite. Good girl, got good grades, worked really hard, very conscientious, great word for me, very conscientious. And that pursued in my whole life until at the age of, you know, 30, I was like 31, 32. Again, I lose the years, guys. that basically in my adult life, I was approaching burnout for like the third time. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And look, there's a lot to be said for self-care. And I talk about what I really believe self-care is in previous episodes and obviously in my free next level shift training. So if you want to access the free next level training, you can find that at lucysuperfox.com/shifting. It's a free video training on what I think it takes to make next level shifts. So you can find that by visiting that on the website. But so I talk a lot about what self-care and self-care isn't, what it is and what it isn't. But what I have learned is that burnout, when it is frequent, when it is common, when you are sensitive to your environment, when you are easily influenced by your environment because you have a sensitive nervous system. Now, you can have a sensitive nervous system because of birth trauma. You can have a sensitive nervous system because of, you know, life trauma, whether that's capital T trauma, which basically means what me and you, if I say the word trauma, you would think of like a PTSD type moment, you know, something that would fall into that category. But you can also have something called lower T trauma. And lower T trauma is just like the general hardships of life. And as a child, those general hardships of life can be deeply traumatic because they are simple things like, I don't know, maybe you ended up, your mum got ill and she was away for 2 weeks in your first year of life. I'm just making this up, guys. And in that time, that bond between the mother and the baby is so important. It's so crucial. I never knew any of this. I've learned all of this along the way, guys. And I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm a big fan of a guy called Gabe. I can never say his name right. Gabor Mate. Big fan of his work. Read a lot of his books. And that early years, when the relationship and the bond with the mother or the bond with the primary caregiver, let me rephrase that, the bond with the primary caregiver is broken for some reason, whether that is something that's just like natural in parts of life, like, you know, custody battles, like mum gets sick, like baby is born by C-section and then has to be taken to the ICU, like on that early level, or it could be something like later on, mum has to have an operation, mum goes back to work early because of finances. All these things can impact a child's nervous system. Now, that does not mean if you've done any of those things, you've done anything wrong. What I'm explaining to you is that those of us who are in our adult life, who feel like this sensitive nerve, this fragment, constantly burnout, up and down, really care about what other people think, look around us every 5 seconds to see what's happening, overthink everything, ruminate, like a lot of that, right, can also be created by a sensitive nervous system that cannot be connected to ADHD. Equally, having ADHD can also create those things. So I don't know if I'll ever know whether I truly have ADHD or whether I truly just have a very sensitive nervous system. I think it's very likely I have ADHD because of my familial situation. But as much as ADHD has genetic tendencies or genetic predetermination, there are a lot of bodies of work that have proven just because it's genetic does not mean it will develop. And here's why. And also when there's no genetics, it can also develop because it's about conditioning of the nervous system and about the fight or flight state in the body in those early years. And again, guys, not a psychotherapist here. So just giving you some general stuff. Great book to read if you're curious is Scattered Minds by Gabor Mate, right? And so really you could have both parents have ADHD and have a neurotypical child. You could have both parents, you know, neurotypical and have an ADHD child because of the way that that baby comes into the world, the environment. So it's like everything else in any disease or any condition, the environment signals the gene. So you can have the gene, but until the environment signals the gene, there is no activation. I hope that makes sense. I know they sound like big words, but if you just think about it this way, when the environment signals the gene, you need the environment to signal the gene. The gene, because it exists, does not act on its own accord. It acts based on stimulation from its environment. So our upbringing is our environment. So for me personally, you would never have known I had ADHD. I was always a very sensitive child. I mean, looking back at some videos, my brother and sister from my recent wedding made like a video of my life. It was absolutely beautiful. And there are some clips of me as a young child. I'm like, how did you not know I had ADHD? Because actually I've presented quite a lot of like highly strong emotions. I've presented quite a lot of reactivity. Like I'm actually presenting really obviously. But I deeply think because you also then have familial dynamics around younger daughter, you know, younger one for my sister, she was just a bit more crazy. It kind of drew attention away from mine. And also I'm come from a performer and a theatrical family. So, you know, naturally we were all quite dramatic, right? A lot of performers have ADHD, side note. And so I basically went through my whole life being this person who conditioned her nervous system to believe that unless I was the best, unless I was succeeding, unless I was the smartest, unless I was the best in the room, basically, is a good way to generalize it, that I, and this is what my body told me, right, is I wasn't safe. I wasn't going, oh, if I'm not the best, I'm not safe. Like, our subconscious mind doesn't say words, right? Our body doesn't understand things cognitively. It understands things thematically. So potentially it was something so simple as I answered my, and I don't remember this, I'm just giving you an example. I could have answered a question in class as a child, got it wrong, felt shame. Shame is the antithesis of joy, right? It's the worst feeling. Shame is right down there. I think I did a whole podcast episode on shame. And when you feel shame, you will do whatever you can to not feel shame again, especially when you have a sensitive nervous system. Because, and this is, shame is a big part of how trauma, central nervous system dysregulation, and how ADHD is environmentally signaled in children. Because if we create shame in the child really early, that feeling, again, no scientist here. How do I describe this? So our chemical messengers in our body are heavily influenced by our emotions and vice versa. So for example, a lot of our happy hormones obviously make us feel happy, but also happiness signals happy hormones, right? So our early years, I'm going to talk that more generally, experience is heavily influenced by our environment, heavily influenced by what we go through. And this is why when you meet those parents who are obsessed with everything their kids do at school and whether or not it's the right school and whether or not having the right support, this is why. Because those parents actually understand that what happens in those first 7 years of that kid's life is having a dramatic impact on who they end up as an adult, massively. So you can have a kid, I'm so sorry, I think I'm getting a cold. You can have a kid that is, you know, really struggling in school, but feel really supported emotionally and not feel shame that they're not good enough. And you can have a kid that's really thriving in school and the grades are great and we're celebrating that, but deep down they're absolutely terrified that if they don't get an A that they're fucking useless and they're shit and they're not loved and they're not seen and they're not cared about. And you honestly, as a parent, I'm not a parent, but I don't think you'll ever know. That's the truth. I don't think my parents would have ever known that I felt like that. Not because they didn't care about me. My parents were so loving. But because I genuinely think I made it look so fucking easy. Because that's also what ADHD gives you the power to do, right? It gives you the power to create some amazing things. And again, I'm not here to give you the list of what ADHD is and what it is. And I'm here to talk to you about my experience. But one of the most amazing things about ADHD is this powerful thing called hyperfocus. And hyperfocus for me has been something that has really allowed me to create some of the most amazing things in my career. Because I have been able to expand my energy, right? So the hyperactivity element, whether or not I have that, there's different types of ADHD, but the hyperactivity element has allowed me to get super hyper-focused. So I have achieved some monumental goals that never look possible. Now, you guys know I'm a massive believer in the law of attraction. I believe we're supported by something bigger than us. You guys know that I think that. But the difference is I still had to do my part, right? And my ability to, my longevity to continue to do my part was heavily influenced, I believe, by my high performer created hyperfocus and hyperactivity. So all I've learned to do is channel that hyperactivity into achievement. Now that was fine when I felt satisfied with my achievements. The truth is I've never felt satisfied with my achievements until recently. When I reconciled some of my core wounds, I've reconciled some of my, you know, deep wounds is the only word I've got for you guys. They're definitely not limiting beliefs. Like my deep core wounds around not being good enough, right? That was driving this need to be seen, this need to be heard, this need to prove, this need to be right, right? My hyperactivity was basically fueling my wound. And so the problem was, as I was pursuing these things in the hope that when I got there, I would suddenly feel good enough. I can tell you that as someone who has achieved some pretty fucking epic shit, I felt no fucking different. And actually, I felt worse because it was almost like I had father to fall from. Like I set the expectation that I was here. If you're not watching a video, like high up, basically 100. And actually, I felt like I was 25. That was a fucking far way to fall publicly, right? And when we have shame triggers, which a lot of us with core wounds do, in fact, everyone's got a core wound, guys. So don't believe you're above this shit. Just be the person that's willing to look at it, right? That for me is, you know, if I don't believe I'm good enough, then shame is my nemesis. Because if I experience shame from an experience, then that is really, like, really visceral to me. And so what started to happen is I started to really look at this. I started to really analyze why I never felt good enough, even though I was achieving things that a lot of people don't achieve. And even when a lot of people do achieve them, they seem to be happier about it than I was, or seem to be satisfied or in joy or in abundance. And the irony is, from those states, guys, we keep anything. But if we don't actually become the person who is the thing, like, they feel the joy in the moment, they don't just know they're successful, they deeply are a successful person. Like, if we don't step into that and feel worthy of that, right? And this is where core wounds trip people up all the time. They can cognitively know that they're good enough. So you can be like, I'm good enough because I did the work, or I'm good enough because, you know, I hear competitors say this all the time with competing. They're like, but I worked really hard. I trained every day. I did the diet. Yeah. And so did everybody else, but only one person can win. If your attachment is to the work, is to the, if I need, I need to get X to feel Y, you'll never feel like, you'll never feel that. The joy and satisfaction must come from the process and the work and the who you're becoming in the process. And mine wasn't about that. Mine was definitely about stuff, things, achievement, arrival, because I had this concept in my head that when I got to X, I would be good enough. And because of the fact that I have a sensitive nervous system, in any moment where I did not feel good enough, and at the point where I, like I said, I felt I had further to fall in business and in life and whatever, that my nervous system started to really fucking show me that I was sensitive. And so what started to happen was crazy physiological symptoms. What started to happen was just extreme exhaustion, extreme mood swings. And look, around this time, you know, I've been told some, you know, negative news around my fertility. So I'm not averse to the concept as well. There was a blending of very early perimenopause in all of this. But I recognized that this was just more than someone who's disappointed. I wasn't just disappointed. Like, I wasn't just somebody who had achieved something and then felt a bit like they were going backwards and then felt a bit like, oh, that's shit, I'll do it again. Like, I did not have the capacity to do it again. I was like, I don't have the capacity to do any of this shit. And what started to happen is my energetic capacity, which previously had been generated by hyperfocus and hyperactivity, was like out here, again, like big arms if you're listening rather than watching. It basically was shrinking, and it was shrinking because I wasn't addressing some of my trauma. And even though I've been doing tons of therapy and tons of work, guys, it's like peeling an onion. You're not like, you don't suddenly with therapy crack it open straight to the middle. Like, you would literally bore your eyes out like you do when you cut an onion, right? But instead, it's about peeling the layers one at a time. And sometimes there's room for a therapist. Sometimes it's room for somatic and body work and to release stuff through the body. Sometimes it's stuff that I teach, like personal development, mindset growth. And it really depends on what your next level move is, depending on which way you want to go. But my experience was at this point that there was more going on. Hence why I went into the, I'm burnt out, I'm fucked. Like, I wasn't feeling joy. I was feeling flat about everything. I couldn't stick to anything. I couldn't give my attention to anything. The idea of hyperactivity and hyperfocus was gone. Like, I was done. I literally was so bored. I felt nothing in my life. And when I started to feel like that, I was like, I know I'm not depressed, because I know that I know what that would feel like. And I just do. I've been through so much that you guys will never know, that I was like, this isn't that. I was like, I'm just empty. And it felt like that. It felt very different. It didn't feel like a deep sense of sadness. It didn't feel like a deep sense of like, and look, of sure, I do. Do I believe that burnout can lead to depression? 100% I do. No doctor here, but 100%. And so I recognized I do something about it. And I've been working with therapists, and I was like, oh my God. Anyway, I actually went and did a lot of my own work. And this is why I think I've been able to progress so quickly, is I have done the extra work. I've read the books. I've understood them. Like, I'm a smart girl. I'm not fucking stupid, right? I've read the books. I've watched the videos. I've, you know, and if you're naturally a natural born teacher, you will always learn through teaching. So one of the best ways I've learned everything is through my podcast, through my programs, through my courses, because that's how we learn, right? If you're someone who is an information accumulator, until you have to teach it back out, you have no idea what you know. Sometimes I say things and I'm like, how the fuck did I even know that? Again, you see what's happening here. So you see, it's obvious now I have ADHD, because my brain's going ping to the left, ping to the right, ping to the top, and we're back in the room. And so that disappeared. And that's how I knew that something more was going on. So then as I was investigating burnout, and I was doing, starting to do some of my somatic work, and I generally take care of my gut health and the kind of fundamentals that I talk about on other episodes, but I generally do all that, but I just invested in it more. And I just invested in doing this work and processing. And it was during this kind of process, I was like, why do I have a sensitive nervous system? And one of the biggest reasons for a sensitive nervous system is either early childhood trauma. Again, doesn't have to be these big traumatic moments, and or neurodiversity. So that's how my diagnosis and non-diagnosis came to be. You know, I did not go and get formally diagnosed. I say this all the time. I do not want to medicate, not because I believe there's anything wrong with medicating, but because I genuinely at this time do not feel called to do that. I feel like I have enough self, I feel like I'm regulated enough that I can, my life works. And I feel, and one of the biggest things that helped me, and I, you know, I haven't talked about this at great length, but I'll talk about it now. One of the biggest things that I did to help me regulate in those early stages of burnout, I don't use it now, but I did for over 6 months, was I microdosed magic mushrooms, because they hold a lot of properties that are great for balancing the mood, shifting the energy, helping the nervous system. And, you know, look, is it legal in the UK? No, it's fucking not, right? Am I about to go on a trip and start selling drugs? No, I'm fucking not. So I'm just being honest, like, this is what I did. And because I felt the need to regulate myself, but I didn't personally feel like I wanted to medicate. Around this time, I'd also, during kind of my recovery burnout phase, I was able to bring myself off levothyroxine. I do actually believe that my thyroid disorder was created from an extreme physical trauma situation when I was 25. And I think because I never did the work to recover my nervous system, I was just like, let's get back to work, let's get back on it, let's da 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 da, that I never gave my nervous system a chance or my hormones a chance to re-regulate. So I was kind of reluctant to then medicate myself back on something I just pulled myself off, right? So I think why I share all this with you is there are a lot of high-performing women who are losing joy in their life, who are going through cycles, who are attaching their worth things on the outside of them, and they think there's something wrong with them. In fact, an overwhelming sense of my clients that I've worked with will say, I just don't know what's wrong with me. I just don't know why I can't change this addictive behavior. I just don't know why I can't stop spending money. I just don't know why I can't change my relationship with food. I just don't know why, da 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 da. I just don't know why I can't let go of other people's opinions. I just don't know why. And number one, anyone that asks why a lot is definitely, in my opinion, got ADHD. But truthfully, when we feel the lack of something, we feel that kind of emptiness or we're inability to focus, the inability to give things concentration, especially things that aren't necessarily new and novelty, what happens is it's because there's no dopamine attached to it. Like, I refer to myself as a dopamine junkie. I am somebody that is always craving something new, always craving something shiny, always craving something to recreate, because that's when I get my dopamine juices flowing. I'm naturally entrepreneurial and I've got ADHD. Like, of course I am. And where I've been able to excel with that has been the hyper-focus and channeling hyperactivity. But what also comes with that is not doing all the other shit I don't want to do. Now, I'm in a financial position where I've got a PA and she does a lot of admin for me, the stuff that I always put off and procrastinate. But there are parts of my business I still do myself and probably always will. And a big part of that is because I believe that if I remove all the things from myself other than things I want to do, eventually there'll be nothing left. And that's because novelty is my best friend. I would always rather do something new than something I've done 100 times, right? And if I do want to do something I've done 100 times, like this podcast, I mean, guys, we're on like 140 episodes. How freaking wild is that? So if you just discovered this one, make sure to work your way back through the library. But I do this because I'm talking about new things every week. Does that make sense? So it's kind of new. And I think that's the challenge, is sometimes a lot of like life is masked by the generic symptoms of ADHD online. You know, if you actually, I actually Googled it just to prove a point. What is the problem is for ADHD? Short attention span, especially for non-preferred tasks, hyperactivity, which may be physical, verbal, or emotional, and impulsivity, which may manifest as recklessness, fidgeting, or restlessness. I don't have fidgeting or restlessness. I occasionally, one day a month, can't sit still, but it's more because I'm not comfy and I just can't get comfy in my own body. I've never been reckless other than something like on a night out once in a blue moon. I'm actually a very logical person. And I do get short attention span, but it's because it's fucking boring and I'm also human. And like I said, that hyperactivity does appear in verbal, but normally it just appears in hyperfocus. So what people need to know is that because we don't look like a 7-year-old boy throwing things at the teacher and throwing things off the wall, that sometimes we assume that's not our problem or it's not what's wrong with us. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with you. And the answer is there is no answer other than you can go and get a diagnosis. But here is my opinion on that. And this is a very personal opinion. You do not need a diagnosis to change your fucking life. You don't. Why is it that we always wait for a fucking diagnosis to change our life? The reason I believe some people do is because medication is required. Totally get that. That makes total sense. That's a paper box ticking exercise, right? You do not need a diagnosis to decide that you can make the changes that if you have ADHD, if you have a sensitive nervous system, if you are burnt out, you can do all of those things without a doctor. The system has created that we only rely on if we've been given a label. It's the only thing that can change. We get to change. We get to change whenever the fuck we like, and relying on a label to do that, and like I said, unless medical assistance is required, what is the point? What is the point? It's actually a way so that we can limit ourselves on, that's why I've done it. That's why I've not got diagnosed, because I almost don't want to limit myself and have my medical record limitation as to why I can or can't do something. So I say that with aggression from my personal experience. I think you have to do what's right for you always. I think if it feels like the right thing to do to get, like, I'm not saying don't get diagnosed. Fuck me. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is you don't have to have somebody tell you X, Y, Z for you to go change. So if we have a coaching call and I'm like, I really think you're burnt out by the sounds of it. There is no diagnosis for burnout, guys, other than maybe some dodgy blood tests. And even then mine was absolutely fine, right? There isn't a diagnosis that's going to change the work that you need to do to regulate your nervous system, to bring yourself back in line, to bring your energy back up, to bring your passion for your business back, to bring your wealth back up. Like, there's no diagnosis in the world that's going to change that. So what I want you to know is that you do not need a diagnosis to change. Sure, if you feel it's required, sure, if you feel like it's the right route for you or it has implications if you don't, but I want you to know that you get to change any fucking time you like. And so many people wait for it all to fall apart to make any changes, or they wait for burnout, or they wait for exhaustion, or they wait for the diagnosis to then make a difference in their life. And I'm like, you are wasting so much time, time that we do not get back, because you are waiting for somebody else to justify how you feel. And look, I can tell you, when someone else says, you know what, I think you might have a nervous sense of nervous system, I think you might have ADHD, you know, sure, you feel fucking seen. That's fucking awesome. I did feel super seen when I said to a few people and they were like, yeah, that makes sense. I was like, okay, cool. I'm not crazy. Beyond that, I was like, cool. I'm going to go do this myself. And I am not saying that not doing it by yourself is there's anything wrong with that. What I'm saying is when you're then getting the support, when you're then speaking to the doctor or having the help or got the psychotherapist or whatever it is, do your own fucking work. Do your own research. Go back, research why you might have developed ADHD. What environment signaled your gene? What did you go for as a child? Like, one of the things I get a lot of my coaching clients to do is to go back, and if they have living parents or living siblings, is to go back and speak to them about what they were like as a child. For two reasons. Number one, not about behavior so much, but about who they were. So to help them rediscover their authenticity, because I think a lot of the time we lose ourselves in the, I need to be good enough, I need to be seen, I need to be validated, blah, 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 in the world. And the second reason is because actually what you'll find is they will say things that you never knew you were, that will likely pinpoint the fact that you had ADHD or you had a sensitive nervous system or you were a sensitive kid or whatever, right? And you can also ask them about experiences in that kind of first few years that may have impacted you. And that will allow you to go, cool, this is great. I now understand why I am the way I am. Guys, I don't actually have a box ticked so I can go, this is why I am the way I am. And the likelihood is because I had an undiagnosed set of parents, they were responding and parenting from an ADHD perspective that was then signaling me to behave in the same way and to modulate my behavior based on them, which was leading to me not trusting myself, which was leading me to a dysregulated nervous system, which then signaled the gene, right? So a long way of saying, you can get all the way to the end and be given all the answers. It won't change how you feel right now. What will change how you feel right now about who you are, where you're at, your lust for life, your passion, your determination, your focus, your creativity, is healing. And even if you don't know what you're healing from, it doesn't matter. Because when you're doing, there's a difference. So I am very much a mindset coach, a growth coach. I am very much a give you structured programs. You either work with me one-to-one with those programs or you work through them by yourself. And I give you those programs because they're a journey that I've experienced and then also tweaked and refined as I've worked with clients based on, oh, actually, I think that module could have been before that one, blah, blah, blah. So I have created these to allow you to move through these processes because they're journeys I've been on. However, there are parts of those journeys where I go to tell you to do your own work on X topic or Y topic. If you are not self-led enough to go do those things, right? If you actually then, so you've paid for a coach, you've taken that action. I've said to you, go do these things. I can't change your results. Only you can by going to do your work. So what I'm trying to say about the whole diagnosis moment or finding out about your past moment is simply because you can have all the fucking information, but information doesn't change anything. Knowing things doesn't change anything. It maybe makes it slightly more aware. Maybe you start to change your behaviors 1% here and there. But if you actually want to create next level change in your life, which I'm guessing you do, or you're probably not listening to my fucking podcast, you've got to be the person who is willing to change without the answers, who's willing to heal regardless. So when you sit and go through, I don't know, the modules of my 6-week shift program, I don't ask you what you were doing when you were 4. Like, I ask you how you feel right now, why you think you feel that way, and from the situations you've recently went through, and how can we reframe those, and how can we heal those, and how can we let go, and how can we set new intentions, and what do we need to do in our body, and right? But whilst doing that, you're going to be healing years and eons of trauma. And I use the word trauma in inverted commas, capital T trauma, lower T trauma, life experience, right? All of it's trauma. You're healing from the life experience you've had in order to design the next one. But truthfully, if you change nothing, it's one of my favorite phrases, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Don't allow yourself to be a victim to any diagnosis, to any circumstance, to any situation that allows you to stay fucking stuck. Don't do that. Like, you wouldn't be here listening to this podcast if you were somebody who didn't have what it takes to take life to the next level. It's impossible. I do not attract people into my environment who do not want to move their life forward, whether it is out of low financial place into abundance, whether it is out of low confidence into high confidence, whether it's about feeling stressed and low and there's a lot going on, into calm, relaxed and safe, like to someone who feels like they don't know themselves and trust into authenticity. Like, you wouldn't fucking be here. You wouldn't. So with that in mind, why are you waiting to change? What are you waiting for? Because here's the thing. Let's say you go get an ADHD diagnosis. I'm all for it. My brother and sister are diagnosed. You know, I honestly think for some people, it's absolutely the right thing. For me, I didn't feel called. That doesn't mean shit about whether or not you should do it. That doesn't mean you wait the 18 months to get the fucking diagnosis on the NHS, if that's the route you go, and don't change anything. In that time, do your growth work, do your healing work, change your food, nourish your nervous system, start healing, start regulating. And then when the time you get to the diagnosis, they're like, cool, yes, you are. Do you want to have this medication, or actually you are, but you don't need to have medication if you don't want to. You're like, cool, actually, I'm feeling really fucking good. I'm not going to ram a load of chemicals down my throat that I'm going to be addicted to for the rest of my life. Do you see what I mean? Why do people need to wait to be told what to do by somebody who hasn't lived your life, who doesn't know what it's like to be you? So there are teachers out there, like I'm a teacher, doctors are teachers, we're there to give you information, to impart wisdom, to coach you through a journey, depending on what the conversation is. But you are the only one that implements the changes. It would be like a client signing up to one of my coaching programs, not doing the coaching program, and they're not getting any results. I'm like, well, duh. You can buy a gym membership in January, honey. If you don't fucking go, nothing will change. So don't wait to be told this is why something is. And this is one thing, you know, my word for 2024 is curious. Be fucking curious. Ask questions, find out more, Google, get books, learn stuff. Don't take everything you read with like, oh, that must be me. Like, that's not what we're doing here. And sensitive nervous system people, we love a little bit of self-labeling and self-diagnosis. So just as you read this stuff, be like, wow, that's really interesting. That's really interesting that ADHD high-performing women feel like this. That's really interesting that when you are really stressed, ADHD sometimes presents like this. Like, get curious. We've got to stop putting your happiness, your mental safety, your emotional safety, your growth in the hands of people that give no fucks about you. You've got to work with people that feel aligned to you. You've got to read books that feel like they're where you're at right now. Stop looking at other people who've never been in your situation. This is why you should listen to podcasts. I'm shooting you right now. I'm sorry. Why you could listen to podcasts of people who've been through what you've been through, or read, watch their YouTubes or whatever. Because at least then you know, I'm not fucking mental. You're like, okay, great. I've read this. I've listened to this person. Definitely. Oh, we don't have that in common. We don't have that in common. But you know what? She said that and that made me feel really good. Or he said that and made me feel really good. But what we do so much in this country as Brits, if you're American, listen to this, sorry, but our healthcare system is what? Is we go, the only person that knows is this person over here. And the truth is, that's just not the case. Like, people who've been through your experience can share their wisdom. You can take their wisdom. You can take what the doctors tell you. You're the one who has to do something with it. So if you change nothing, nothing changes. So you can be sat there thinking right now, fuck me, I've definitely got ADHD. I definitely have some wounds and some stuff I need to deal with. I definitely da 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 da, right? You can have all of that, but just knowing that doesn't change anything. And this is why I've been so reluctant to talk about this at great length, because I'm not an ADHD coach. I don't want to be one, right? I want to be a coach that helps people heal and grow through their shit. I'm not a therapist, so we're not going to talk about stuff that's therapy-based, right? But I am going to point you in the right resources if my programs and tools aren't the right thing. And so I think what you've got to get to is knowing that your autonomy, your self-autonomy, is the only thing that will allow you to move forward, and that giving your power away to anyone and everything else is the fastest way to feeling unsatisfied. And as somebody, if you do have ADHD, the thrill of the chase, the thrill of hyperfocus, the thrill of feeling something amazing, that will go when you give all your power away. You'll never feel that again. But bringing your power back to yourself is about healing. It's about regulation. It's about nourishment. It's about self-empowerment. It's about doing the thing you said you were going to do. And that doesn't mean ticking your boxes on some business bullshit every day. It means doing your inner work to know that you're fucking good enough because you are. And from that place, from that inner worth, that real deep inner worth, then stepping forward and making the next level move on your life, on your business, on your money, in a relationship, whatever it is. So really, there's a lot of things I know about me and ADHD. One of them is that I don't want to change it. I like the fact that I have these things. And what I have learned instead is that I value feeling regulated. My sleep is my number one. Like, I didn't sleep well last night, had a 2-hour nap before I filmed this podcast, because I value my sleep. I value feeling regulated. So by doing all the base level stuff, and I talk about this in my podcast called What I Know So Far Energy, by doing my four pillars, getting my fresh air, my hydration, my sleep, my quality nutrition, looking after my gut health, regulating my nervous system through somatic work, processing my inner work, doing my daily personal development, you know, and then doing what I love. So teaching my clients to do the same thing, you know, I then am doing all my side of the street. I'm keeping my side of the street nice and clean, doing all the things. So as and when then I have a surge of, you know, excitement or hyperfocus, I can run with it. And as and when I go through a period where I don't have that and I'm a bit distracted and da, 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 I'm like, cool, what's been going on this week that's led me to feeling like this physiologically? Or what experience has triggered a trauma wound that's led me to feel like this somatically, right? And so that's where doing our own work is so fucking important. And when you give your power away to waiting on a wait list for 18 months and don't change anything, don't do all the things you can do for yourself in the meantime, you are missing a trick. So I would highly recommend, if you've listened to this and resonated in any way, I would go check out my free video training at lucysuperfox.com/shifting. I talk a lot about the nervous system in there. I talk about what it takes to heal, what it takes to kind of to grow the, you know, there are two programs open for enrollment right now. One is the Becoming program. This is really the program about healing, about kind of self-nourishment, self-regulation. It's about taking care of oneself. And it's about then really how, I love this word, it's the metamorphosis of how healing then leads to manifestation. I think it's quite a unique course. I don't really know any others that do that. Healing through to manifestation. And then the 6-week shift is kind of a 6-week intensive, although I did find my clients did love having a call every other week after we got past module 2. So we built a bit of relationship, module 1, module 2, and then I think we spread them out a bit, and I'm totally open to that. But it's 6 modules. So 6 weeks, 6 modules, intensive program that's really about stepping into your authenticity and power. So this is really, we do some, you know, discovery work, we do some kind of peeling back the layers, but this is really about giving you the strategies and tools alongside doing that inner work to be able to take things to the next level time and time and time again. And, you know, some of the testimonials I got back this week are just life changing. Like, to read them, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. So if you want to be one of them, you can check out the healing course, which is called Becoming, at lucysuperfox.com/confidence. And if you're ready, you want that kind of one-to-one accountability to work with me on a coaching program, the 6-week shift is open for enrollment now. At the time of recording this, we have 7 spaces left. And you can see that by going to lucysuperfox.com/6. And at the time of recording, there is a 5-month payment plan available. So financially, if you're like, oh, there is ability to pay that off over 5 months when the content drops in January, and we kick the calls off from mid-January. So I hope this episode resonated. I feel like people will take it one of two ways. They'll either feel like, and here's the thing, if you took this podcast episode and made it mean that I was saying something bad about you, that's your trauma work to go do. That's your trauma work, because I have learned that whenever I'm activated, or, and there's a word that's used way too much at the moment called triggered, like whenever I'm activated by something or something pokes at me, I'm like, that's the thing I need to go look at. So if I have activated you or triggered you today, then I want you to know you're safe, you're seen. It's, your feelings are totally valid. I am not an expert. I am not the right person, but that's the thing you need to go look at. You need to go look at why that did that to you, because that is really your lesson on where to go next. So I love you all so much. Thank you so much for joining me. I will do a Christmas episode. TBC, if you're an avid weekly listener, obviously it's Christmas Day next Monday, so I might not drop it on Christmas Day. I will see. I'll drop a Christmas episode for sure. I'm also doing a vision board workshop on Wednesday, the 20th of December, 2023 on my Instagram at Lucy Super Fox. I'm doing a live vision board workshop at 8 o'clock. So if you are somebody right now that wants to maybe really channel in your visions, you really want to kind of line up for next year in a whole other way, then that would be a good one to join. And like I said, you can find the free training at lucysuperfox.com/shifting. So I hope that's resonated. I hope you've loved it. I will be dropping a Christmas episode ready to get you prepped for 2024. And then I cannot wait to share with you some new stuff, a little rebrand, some social media, an update to the website, some cool stuff. And obviously the I'll be closing the launch in January for the 6-week shift. So if you want to get on that program, if you want 2024 to go to the next level, then make sure to enroll as soon as you can. So have the most beautiful Christmas if listening to this at the time of recording, and I'll see you all soon.